11. Long after the dhow had sailed sedately first out of rifle range and then out of sight, Hermann Fleischer gave himself over completely to the epilepsy of frustrated anger. He raved about the tiny deck, lashing out with ham-sized fists, while his askari skirted around him trying to keep out of range. Repeatedly, he returned to the unconscious form of his helmsman to kick him as he lay. At last, his fury burned itself down to the level where it allowed him to trundle aft and hang over the stern rail, peering down at the sodden bundle of netting which was wrapped around the propeller. "Sergeant!" His voice was hoarse with strain. "Get 2 men with knives over the side to cut that away." And a stillness fell upon them all. Every man tried to shrink himself down into insignificance, so that the choice might not fall on him. 2 volunteers were selected, divested of their uniforms, and hustled to the stern, despite their terrified entreaties. "Tell them to hurry," grunted Hermann, and he went to his folding chair. His personal boy placed the evening meal with its attendant pitcher of beer on the table before him, and Hermann fell too. Once, from the stern, there was a squeak and a splash, followed by a furious burst of rifle fire. Hermann frowned and looked up from his plate. "A crocodile has taken one of the men," his sergeant reported in agitation. "Well, put another over," said Hermann, and returned with unabated relish to his meal. This last batch of sausage was particularly tasty. The netting had wound so tightly about the blades and shaft of the propeller that it was an hour after midnight when the last of it was hacked away by lantern light. The drive shaft had twisted slightly and run one of its bearings, so even at quarter speed there was a fearsome clattering and threshing sound from the stern as the launch limped slowly down the channel towards the sea. In the grey and pallid pink of dawn, they crept past the last island of mangroves, and the launch lifted her head to the sluggish thrust of the Indian Ocean. It was a windless morning of flat calm, and Hermann peered without hope into the misty half-light that obscured the ocean's far horizon. He had come this far only on the slight chance that the dhow might have gone aground on a mud bank during her night run down the river. "Stop!" he shouted at his battered helmsman. Immediately the agonized clatter of the propeller ceased, and the launch rose and fell uneasily on the long, oily swells. So they had got clear away, then. He could not risk his damaged launch on the open sea. He must go back and leave the dhow and its ivory and its many candidates for the rope to head unmolested for that pest-hole of rogues and pirates on Zanzibar Island. Moodily he looked out across the sea and mourned that cargo of ivory. There had been, perhaps, 1,000,000 Reichmark of it aboard, of which his unofficial handling fee would have been considerable. Also he mourned the departure of the Englishman. He had never hanged one before. He sighed and tried to comfort himself with the thought of that damned American, now well digested in the maw of a crocodile, but truly it would have been more satisfying to see him kick and spin on the rope. He sighed again. Ah, well, at least he would no longer have the perpetual worry of Flynn O'Flynn's presence on his border, nor would he have to suffer the nagging of Governor Shea and his endless demands for O'Flynn's head. Now it was breakfast time. He was about to turn away when something out there in the lightning dawn caught his attention. A long, low shape, its outline becoming crisper as he watched. There were cries from his askari as they saw it also huge in the dawn. the stark square turrets with their slim gun barrels, the tall triple stacks, and the neat geometrical patterns of its rigging. "The Blucher!" roared Herman in savage elation. "The Blucher, by God!" He recognized the cruiser, for he had not seen her, not for 6 months before, lying in Dar es Salaam harbour. "Sergeant, bring the signal pistol!" He was capering with excitement. In reply to Herman's hasty message, Governor Shea must have sent the Blucher racing southwards to blockade the Rufiji mouth. "Start the engine! Schnell! Run out to her!" he shouted at the helmsman as he slid one of the fat Very cartridges into the gaping breech of the pistol, snapped it closed, and pointed the muzzle to the sky. Beside the tall bulk of the cruiser, the launch was as tiny as a floating leaf, and Herman looked up with apprehension at the frail rope ladder he was expected to climb. His askari assisted him across the narrow strip of water between the two vessels, and he hung for a desperate minute, until his feet found the rungs and he began his ponderous ascent. Sweating profusely, he was helped onto the deck by two seamen and faced an honour guard of a dozen or more. Heading them was a young lieutenant in crisp, smart, tropical whites. Herman shrugged off the helping hands, drew himself to attention with a click of heels.
"Commissioner Fleischer,"
his voice shaky with exertion.
"Lieutenant Killer,"
the officer clicked and saluted.
"I must see your captain immediately. A matter of extreme urgency."